and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, no, make that 36 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. Welcome to Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, we're coming to you live from Sports Byline, live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. They implored me to do the video, so I'm doing the video for them. Straight up, we are coming to you live, of course, each and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. So you might be listening to the show delayed somewhere, maybe on your Anchor podcast or iTunes or somewhere. But the bottom line is we air live every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Of course, Channel 211, the man, the Dan Patrick channel. We got it going on. Bottom line is we're talking combat sports today. Of course, we'll hear from the UFC featherweight champion, still Alexander Volkanovski, a bit of a controversial winner last night, of course, over Max Holloway. Max Holloway, the slug in Hawaiian, came up short on a split decision. So we'll hear from him. We'll also hear from Teofimo Lopez. That's right, the future of boxing. I know Hector Martinez doesn't think so, but I do. He's going to beat Lomachenko when they fight, and that's what he's talking about, he and Lomachenko. So we'll hear from Teofimo. We'll also hear from Kamaru Usman, the world welterweight champion of the UFC. I'm talking about the guy that totally outclassed Jorge Masvidal last night. Masvidal took the fight on a week's notice. Well, it sort of showed because he sucked down the stretch as far as his endurance and stamina was concerned. He was totally outclassed. He was beaten by a better man. I hope Jorge Masvidal can admit that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check us out, the live TV broadcast, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
But somehow you know there's much more to the trip.
What is hip? Tell me. If you think you know. What is hip?
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
He's done it! We have a new heavyweight champion in the world!
Yesterday, I was in the Excelsior District here in San Francisco, and a mask dispute got a little ugly. Let me put it to you this way. The old man says to the young man in a restaurant, quote, "For your daughter's safety, she should probably have a mask on," end of quote. 30-year-old Latino father then called the old man every filthy name in the book. The bully gets in the old man's face, and the old man insists to the old man, "What are you looking at?" The old man responds, "A fat guy." Bully pushes the old man twice, and the old man leaves. His food was not ready. Old guy returns for food a couple of minutes later, and bully backs the old man up to the door with balled up fists, and he made a move. Surprise! The old man landed first, and the bully is down, having been reduced to lowrider rubble in a nanosecond by a single punch. The old man then slapped the bully twice for good measure, swollen and cut. The bully was horizontally talking spit. This is the old man slowly walked to his car. He did not run. He walked. That old man was me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Not taking any smack here. I just wasn't. I mean, I tried to be as humble as I could. The guy approached me three different times, got physical three different times. The fourth time, I just felt I had to crack him. What could I do? Bottom line is, at the end of the day, he's thinking about it. I'm not. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. We're waiting on the Godfather. He's in the house. We're talking about Mr. Larry Merchant. And Larry, how are you today, sir?
Well, it's a beautiful day in Santa Monica. I'm sitting here reading the newspapers and having a late breakfast.
You know, I still read newspapers, and I get off on newspapers and magazines more than I do the internet. Is that because of my upbringing, because I was bred on newspapers?
Yes, word. But in maybe in both of our cases, because I'm similar to you, I'd rather have the well-thought-out reporting of serious journalists than read the one sentence or one paragraph take on some cosmic subject from an amateur.
Well, that's, yeah, I agree. But obviously, you know, I've got a thing now where my computer reads to me. I have a Macintosh, and I highlight the text and push option and escape button, and it reads to me. So, in other words, I used to read something like 100,000 words or more a week. Now I'm still reading that, but I'm not reading it per se, Godfather. The computer's reading a lot to me.
Look, it's the new world and the next world, and I see that, and there are some good stuff on it, I'm sure, but reading the LA Times and the New York Times daily fills me in on what's going on out there.
Yeah, but I will say this, though, I had to laugh. The president, of course, threw that rally in Tulsa last week there, or a couple weeks ago, fortnight ago. They only drew a few thousand people. The reason why these tic-tac kids got together online and they organized and they hoarded all the tickets up. I kid you not. So these kids, the kids are moving in a positive direction as far as politically is concerned. And you know what, Godfather? I think they need to, because it's their world. You and I, our times are, you know, we're passing. But it's their world now. They've got to take control. And I think that...
Well, you know, it's good to hear that the liberal side of the world is
alive.
Taking... it's seriously to combat all those people out there who want to tell fairy tales.
Well, fairy tales, and you know, I was going to do a whole editorial on being called the N-word, because my mother was Norwegian and my father was Puerto Rican. He didn't even admit to being Puerto Rican. He called himself Portuguese. He didn't want to be associated with anything that was black, okay? And my grandmother, evidently, we traced the roots and she was half black. But I got called the N-word so much growing up, it just got
really?
To me. People said to me, my mother used to tell people, well, you know, he got into a fight today. Why? Somebody called me N-word. So that went away, and now it's back.
Where were you raised?
San Francisco.
And they were using the N-word.
Oh, in the 60s and the 70s, no doubt about it.
Wow. Well, you know, there was a time, not sort of recently, you know, when some black people used the word about themselves or their others.
True.
And it was a matter of class. And I'll tell you a story. We were in Munich for a Muhammad Ali fight when he fought that
Jürgen Blend. Jürgen Blenn?
What?
Was his name Jürgen Blenn?
No, he fought the guy named Dunn.
Richard Dunn.
Right. And he had a bunch of his pals there, and apparently they stole some linens or something. There was some incident. And I was told that Ali got them in a room, and he used the N-word on them. And even though he was a black man. And it connoted some kind of lower class person in the black world. And it got common, if not common usage, not uncommon usage in some parts of the entertainment world and so on. So maybe they're going to be outgrown by the next generation.
You know, what it always boiled down to, it was a battle of wits. And we would go back and forth, and I would intellectually defeat them, and they would come up with the N-word. It was like the ultimate. I said, here it comes. You no good, N. I mean, holy, you know, that's growing up, it was tough. And I remember my mother having to come to school a couple of times, and she said to the principal, Beatrice Lynch, what do you want me to do? And Beatrice really didn't have an answer.
Yeah, well, you know, it's some kind of, the way I look at it, is that knowingly or unknowingly, there are some people inside of the black world who use it in a kind of ironic way. And you diffuse the meaning of the word if you use it on yourself.
Yep.
And you use it ironically. But it's hard to distinguish between that and the mean-spirited use of the word or the casual use of the word where it's inappropriate.
Good point. The Godfather's in the house. Larry Merchant was switching gears, talking Teofimo Lopez and Lomo after the break. Of course, you are tuned to Sports Byline. You can send the Godfather a text via the studio text line. The number, 415-275-1613. Once again, studio text line, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, make that 36 plus years now of being often imitated, but never duplicated.
He want to take cash and play when Howard Cosell and everybody is calling Muhammad Ali. Then why you got to be the one of all people who's color to keep saying cash is Clay? My name is Muhammad Ali, and you will announce it right there in the center of that ring after the fight if you don't do it now.
Baby, 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 I got the feeling, baby.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hot damn, now you're talking.
Looking at the news here, the palace in Auburn Hills, that's located in the suburbs of Detroit, was demolished this week and with a series of explosions. I did a couple of fights there. Godfather, do you remember doing any fights at the palace?
No.
Auburn Hills in Detroit?
I never heard of it until 1 second ago.
Godfather?
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember? I remember we did Cobo Hall together. We did the Prince Nassim Ahmed, I think, Wayne McCall fight. We did it. That was a Cobo.
Yeah, that was the only fight I ever covered in Detroit.
Okay, well, they had me doing a couple of fights. I got to meet Aretha Franklin on two occasions, and the second time she referred to me as Pedro, and I was a little like, I was like, ha 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 ha. I was all fluttery. She was a nice lady. Anyway, Godfather, the fight you're talking about, of course, on the internet is Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Evidently, I guess they are going to try to negotiate some type of deal where Mr. Wilder walks away or steps aside for a few million dollars. Nice way to get paid and not work. Have you heard any progress on this from your end?
No, I haven't. And it won't happen until you can have big crowds. Because in boxing, the gate is important. A big mega fight like that would generate millions and millions and millions of dollars in pay-per-view. But my recollection is, you know, they can make 15, 20, who knows how many millions of dollars, particularly if they have that fight in Britain. So I don't see it happening anytime soon, but if they're negotiating, That's good. That's a good thing.
Mr. Teofimo Lopez, of course, one of my favorite guys, 15 and zip out of Brooklyn, 15 and zip with 12. Of course, he's a phenom, the IBF champion. And Vasyl Lomachenko, well, they're talking about duking it out.
I know that Bob's been working on trying to make, trying to have at least a few fans out there, a couple thousand fans out there. And I think that's the only issue that we're having right now. With a fight that, with this magnitude of this type of fight, I mean, is definitely one that needs to have fans. So I understand where he's coming from with it. But, you know, we're training every day and we're just waiting on it for it to be official. I would love the fans to be at the Allegiant Stadium. I would love for us to be, you know, the first, you know, fight, you know, in boxing and the first sport to actually be out there holding, you know, a type of fight like this. So that's my, I would love for that, honestly. And I think everybody else would, even him, Lomachenko himself. So the only thing really now is just, like I said, we're prepared to fight with or without fans. And that's where we come to our conclusion with now, you know, with this whole pandemic. But, you know, this type of fight, definitely, you know, everyone is eyeing for it to be with fans.
Godfather, if we have the fight without fans, can't we just make it up by tacking a few bucks on the pay-per-view?
I don't know if you can make it up. There's going to be less money.
Okay.
Put it that way.
All right.
And that's up to the promoters and the fighters. If they want to fight for less money than they would have made in a big live fight with a stacked arena. So it depends on how eager and anxious the fighters are. It's conceivable that in a fight like this, both fighters want the fight, and they can make some money. So maybe it will be the first breakout fight during the pandemic era and afterwards.
Okay, so they're thinking about doing this in the new Raider Stadium in Las Vegas, and they're talking about social distancing, seating people like 6 feet apart and this and that. You know, conceivably, seeing we only get maybe we'd only get 10 or 15,000 people that want to go see that fight in mass, if we put it in a stadium of 60,000, we might be able to fit all those people, or a lot of those people in there, through social distancing. Am I dreaming?
You probably are. It's a good dream, I'll put it that way. You know, but the high rollers who get their tickets from the hotels, who buy them in lots of ringside seats, those people who bring the really big bucks to it, I'm not sure they're going to come to Vegas for a fight at this point. I think most of them will stay home to see it on television. But you'll get people into the arena, there's no question.
You know, I jogged through San Francisco in San Bruno. It's a city outside of San Francisco near the airport. And I jogged through Main Street of San Bruno, and they've got a town bar there. And for the first few days after the governor lifted this, it was standing room only with people with no masks, drinking, and the whole nine yards. Yesterday I went by there, there was only two lone fools all by themselves. I was beyond dumbfounded. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing with my own eyes there. These people just flagrantly saying, you know what, I don't care.
There's some impulse in the human heart that wants to be close to other humans.
Real quick.
And I do some walking in a park that overlooks the beach in Santa Monica, and yesterday with the weather and the weekend, there were pretty substantial crowds. The highway was stacked with cars in every direction, and I expect it'll even be bigger today because it's a beautiful day. And so it goes. If they're willing to take the chance, and that's on them.
Good point.
And but it's in my view, it's it's not the smartest thing you can do.
Okay. Major League Baseball, will there be a season this year? Godfather, you've been following baseball since Babe Ruth. Will there be a season this year?
Apparently, from what I'm reading. But if the pandemic comes to a few of the major league cities that haven't been hit hard, maybe it won't do very well in terms of getting fans into the, or as we used to say, asses into seats. But television would be happy to put some money up, and the players want to play. I just heard that the Buster Posey is retiring for the season.
Yep.
Mike Trout might do the same. I know that you won't find me at the ballpark, and that's the sad for me.
You know, this whole thing about being restricted and this and that, I mean, I'm doing it for my health and I'm doing it for the health of others, and I want to be I want to be selfish and go out and do things that I normally would. I'm a metrosexual. There's all kinds of things in my life that I can't do because of this pandemic. But I roll with it for the health and for the health of myself and the health of others. And like the guy in the restaurant yesterday, I was telling him, I said, for the health of your daughter, maybe she should be wearing a mask. And like he got violent. I mean, unbelievably violent. So I'm in here. I'm in a world. I'm 62 years old. I'm watching a very, very bitter world around me, Godfather.
Yeah. Well, it's polarized, just as the country is polarized, and it's taken on some cultural or political significance, you know, whether you're going to just be yourself. And you know, the way I look at it is maybe there's 1 in 1,000 chances of people getting the virus, but if you don't pay heed to the to the restrictions to using masks and so on, maybe it's 1 in 500.
Okay. Godfather, you remember Don King's driver, his bodyguard, Isidore, that guy that looked like a human refrigerator? He was like about 5'10" and about 5'10" wide. You remember him?
No.
Okay, he died this past week from from COVID, and he was only 59 years old, so I just thought I would throw that in there. Anyway, you got any plans for the week for you and the God Mama? You guys going to, like, tour the coast, anything like that?
Well, actually, we've talked about after the weekend taking a couple of drives up and down the coast and maybe finding some outdoor eating
facility.
We really don't know what's going on out there specifically on the ground, but we're going to give it a shot.
Godfather, you have the greatest of weekends, the greatest of week, and of course, say hello to the God Mama for me. I thank you for your time each and every week because you are a special individual, and the Ring Talk family recognizes that and they appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Pedro.
The one, the only, the esteemed HBO Godfather's in the house, baby, each and every Sunday right here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm talking about Larry Merchant. You are tuned to Ring Talk, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Coming up, I'll touch on the world of mixed martial arts. Hour number two, I'm going to bring in a guy by the name of Dave Jaco. He fought everybody there is to fight, I kid you not, and he went to China with me. This guy's got a story to tell. He's been all over the world. Straight up, Dave Jaco in hour number two, and Kamaru Usman will go with the world welterweight champion of the UFC. He as well in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is Ring Talk, 35, make that 36 plus years now, knocking out all bums. We'll be right back.
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy? Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That Doc.
How do they go? Dong dong, ding ding, or ding dong? It's important.
Ding dong? Dong ding?
No second guessing. Too bad. Should go dong dong.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
This is the new tune from the Tower of Power. Of course, Emilio Castillo, the band leader's on lead vocals here. He's got some chicks doing backgrounds, there's solos, there's all kinds of crazy stuff, man. Look Into Your Eyes. This is a great song by the new Tower of Power. Check them out. Tower of Power 2020 at towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of combat sports. Last night, the UFC was rocking and rolling, and of all places, Dubai. And if you've ever been there, you never want to go back. I thought it was, am I going to go into Iran on Dubai? No, I'm not going to go into Iran on Dubai. But I went there once. I spent a week in bed. You know, it wasn't with all these lovely ladies or some type of harem or something like that. I had food poisoning. Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, last night, UFC went to Dubai, of course, on top in the main event. Kamaru Usman retained the World Welterweight Championship over Jorge Masvidal. Of course, everybody's underdog, the bad guy. The cards were 50-45, meaning a shutout, five rounds of zip twice. And then one judge gave one round for Masvidal, 49-46. That was 5 5-minute rounds. We'll get into that fight in detail in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Excuse me. The co-feature, Alexander Volkanovski, a split decision win over former champion Max Holloway. This went over well with Volkanovski, but that was about it. He had that sort of surprised look to his face, like, man, I lost, but I just won. You know, one of those looks. Anyway, Max Holloway should have got the elevator, but instead it got the shaft.
Well, here he is, the still UFC featherweight champion, Alexander Volkanovski. Volko, a tough fight tonight. Maybe not the start you were looking for, but you certainly came on strong late. I know you're still digesting this result, but the first title defense is in the books. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a tough fight. Max brought it. He stood there, didn't really take a backward step. He made it tough for me early in them rounds. I couldn't have used the kicks as much as I'd like, but I still got the job done, so that's the main thing. Dug deep in the last round. It was 2-2 apiece, and I had to win that last round. Like I said, I wanted the finish. I know he went for the finish. Unfortunately, we both didn't get it, but I got the decision. That's all counts.
So it seemed like you switched up things strategically. You leaned on the wrestling a little bit. A couple takedowns materialized for you. Was that a byproduct of the way the fight was going?
Well, I'm always going to play what's in front of me. I'm a well-round fighter. You could probably see I wasn't using the right kick as much because from the last fight, it's still bloody sore from the last fight. Once I touched that, I couldn't really use it, and then that happened with the left leg. But the pain would go away, and I kept using it anyway, trying to break that rhythm still. But, he's tough. He's a gamer. But again, hard work, man. We're both hard workers, but I got the job done. You know, like I said, no one can outdo me in there, and nothing but respect to Max. I know we had words, maybe he was trying to get in my head. Again, he done well, but I got the job done.
So you've got a win over Jose Aldo, now 2 over the consensus greatest featherweight of all time, Max Holloway. Does this give you the closure in the series that you would like as you look ahead to the future?
Yeah, well, winning, you know, we had 10 rounds, and then I was able to dominate him throughout there. Of course, he won some rounds as well, so credit to him. But again, he's durable. I thought, I could maybe take him out, but, even when I was on top, I thought I'd be too strong there, but he done well to get back up. But again, this is a fight game. Prepare for the worst. I wanted to finish him early. Couldn't get that done, but we got the job done.
You did. You're 22-1. You've won 19 consecutive fights. You're trying to get one more in before the year is up, or what?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely want to get another one in. I like to stay active. And again, I'm one of the champions chasing the contenders. You know what I mean? We've got a lot of guys in our division. They're about to fight each other. I've got my eye on every single one of them. That's how champions are meant to do. You know, you've got to go your defenses and take out them number one contenders. That's exactly what I want to do.
All class in victory or defeat. You haven't lost a whole lot in your UFC career. Congratulations, Alexander Volkanovski. Enjoy those little girls. We'll see you on the other side, man.
Will do. Thank you.
Enjoy those little girls. What are they trying to say? He's a pedophile? Enjoy those little girls? What the hell do they mean by that? Anyway, bottom line is props to ESPN there and the UFC for the audio. Volkanovski now 21-1. The decision is quite controversial. In fact, I looked online. I couldn't find any trolls that thought Volkanovski won. So evidently Max Holloway. And people say to me, why would they want Max Holloway not to win? Because, you know, Max Holloway, the UFC, because Max Holloway would probably be a bigger star than Volkanovski, because, you know, he has that pass to consider the greatest featherweight of all time, two wins over Jose Aldo, who we'll get to in a second. Because of the fact that, you know, they don't want to build superstars. I mean, they just don't. Don't you understand? If they build superstars, they got to pay superstars. They don't want to do that. This guy Masvidal, of course, he held out, got a bunch of money, ended up losing last night, but he got a bunch of money. He got well paid. These other guys don't get paid so well. In fact, you know, I keep telling you time and time again, if you make 8 cents, if you're a pimp and you're pimping hookers out on the street and you only give them 8 to 12 cents of every dollar they make, you ain't going to have too many employees too long. But the UFC, those boys have no choice because that is the masses plantation. Talk about Dana White. So in the co-main event, again, Alexander Volkanovski, a split decision winner over Max Holloway, the former champion for the World 145-pound championship. In another title fight, Peter Yan. Pretty good-looking guy, man. But he beat up on the aforementioned Jose Aldo, who lost two fights in a row. Yeah, Dana White, your sport's really legit. It's really legit because we're going to get a guy that loses two fights in a row, and we're going to give him a title fight. Boy, hey, that's what we're going to do. So that's what Dana did. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Dana does it Dana's way. I think the Godfather Larry Merchant had a less attractive way to describe Dana White, but that's basically the way he did it. I mean, to throw Aldo in there, he didn't deserve to be in no title fight, but they needed a title fight. You know what I'm saying? And they took the title, of course, from Henry Cejudo, who retired because he wasn't getting any money. Again, the whores want to get paid. I hate to say like that, but that's just it. They want to get their money. You can't blame them. Nobody wants to go out there and risk their lives, be it on the streets of San Francisco or in an octagon in a cage somewhere fighting in the world, fighting some guy that wants to kill you. For a nickel, when you should be getting paid 75 cents. I'm telling you, these guys are underpaid so much. What, one guy last week, I think, got an ass whooping for like $4,000 or $5,000. Come on, man. $9,000 to go out there and get destroyed and maybe see crookedly, you know, not see straight. I kid you not. You take a beating from these guys, you get kicked in the head. I've known guys that from boxing, that had residual effects. They couldn't handle it. In other words, their vision was off. One eye was going one way, one eye was going the other. They looked like a cyclops or something like that. But in MMA, you're seeing it even more. Anyway, Jose Aldo, hopefully he'll retire. They call him Scarface. Time to go. And a surprise in the women's strawweight bout. Of course, the judges, the box, the MMA gods were looking down on Rose Namajunas. Rose is a nice girl. I really like her personality. She can fight as well, and she was a champion of strawweight. Then they put her in there with Jessica Andrade. In her first fight, they sent her to Brazil. Instead of giving her something she could work with, they sent her into like a lion's den right away. And, you know, some people just can't handle that. But Rose went down there, and Rose got slammed. I mean, a mean-ass body slam in the second round, and Andrade was the winner. Of course, that was her last fight. That was like a year ago. Last night, they rematched after Andrade lost the title. And guess what? Rose won a split decision, 29-28. It was a three-round fight. Two judges saw it. 2-1 for Rose. The other judge saw it 2-1 for Jessica Andrade from Brazil. The bottom line is the MMA gods were looking down on Rose Namajunas. And yes, there is a god, because if ever there was a girl that deserved to win, she deserved to win, man. More pride and more props to her. Amanda Ribas is in another women's fight on the card. She fought a flyweight at 125. She turned back the model, or the would-be model. I'm talking about Paige VanZant. That was a submission armbar. 2 minutes and 21 seconds in round number one. Paige is good-looking. She keeps fighting. She won't be. Some of the fighters in the other card, undercard, are not even worth speaking about, so I'm not going to go into them in detail. Why? It's not disrespect. It's not disrespect. It's just that, yikes, you know, let me tell you, when you look at the UFC and you look at their Wikipedia page, it's called the Wikipedia UFC events page, you look at it and they update it all the time, but they update it with the results right after the fight. Like if a fight card's going on, you can see the results, tap up here on Wikipedia, like every 5 minutes when a fight's over with, they'll post the results. Okay. So I'm looking at the results here on Wikipedia, and I'm going through these fights, and like, you know, who wants to watch these? I mean, and you've got guys with no bios. I mean, when guys have no bios in the UFC, as far as their Wikipedia pages are concerned, when there's no bios, that means they're going to lose. I can't find the guy without a bio that won. I found, take that back, Carol Rosa was a not, I couldn't find a guy. I found a woman. I found a woman that was unheralded, and she ended up pulling off a unanimous decision winner over Vanessa Mello. But outside of that, nobody without a bio in the UFC wins. In other words, these people are being brought in straight up to lose. Whether you're going to Dubai, yeah, you're having a good time going to Dubai. But man, the ass whipping for a few bucks, to me, it just isn't worth it. What am I trying to say? The UFC is the only game out there. It's the biggest game out there. And guys are forced to do this. I mean, they're forced to. It's like you have no choice. You really have no choice. I mean, you can talk all the smack you want. Like Masvidal talked all that smack about leaving and this and that. And Henry Cejudo had to retire because he wasn't getting any money. Here was a guy that was a 135-pound and 125-pound champion, but Dana White didn't like him. So he wouldn't give him the money. He wouldn't give him that heavyweight money. Wouldn't give it to him. The guy deserved it. I mean, good Lord, Demetrius Johnson. Nobody thought that Super Mouse or Mighty Mouse, whatever they called him, the world flyweight champion, he was unbeaten. Nobody could ever beat him. He would never be beaten. What happened? Henry took him to school. And of course, 135 pounds, Henry wins the title there as well. So what am I trying to tell you? He's an incredible fighter, maybe pound for pound the best fighter in all mixed martial arts right now. And he had to retire because he didn't want to get pimped off anymore by Dana White. Do I think he'll return? Yes. How about John Jones? John Jones is retiring. Why is that? He can't get enough money. He wants money. How about Conor McGregor? He says he's done as well. These guys are all the top draws in the UFC. Conor McGregor says, yeah, you know, I'm probably going to just stick to making whiskey and that kind of good stuff. He looks like he's in shape. I mean, he does. And John Jones is talking about sitting out 2 years in order to go fight for another organization. He's got that kind of money. He can do it. Okay? Not everybody can. That's the problem. Not everybody can. And Jones can outweight Dana White. And, of course, his prime is going to go with it. But the bottom line is he can outweight Dana White while the other guys can't. So, also Amanda Nunes, the two-time champ, two-division champion. 135 and 145-pound champion. Of course, knocked out Chris Cyborg Santos, which was a stunner to me. But she deserves all the props she can get. At 135, 145, she's a champ. She fought a couple weeks ago, took a fight on short notice, lost a lot of weight, and did a good job in winning, I think, a five-round decision. But at the end of the day, she wanted out. They had to push her into this fight, basically talk about, we're going to stay. They were whispering about stripping her. In other words, that's what they do. The Dana White and his crew, the the USC crew, they put out their press rumors through these guys. They drop lies through these guys on the internet. And you see these guys going, yeah, Amanda Nunes is going to be stripped of her title if she doesn't step up. And Stipe Miocic is going to be stripped of his title if he'll step up. Why should somebody step up and train in an atmosphere in which they might be, their health might be put at risk? I mean, you heard Mike Trout, Major League Baseball. He doesn't want to do it. This coronavirus is freaking him out. My man Buster Posey, the catcher for the SF Giants. Of course, he's headed for the Hall of Fame, no doubt about that. But he doesn't want to play this season. He's scared. People are frightened, okay? And I'm down with the frightened thing because I'm frightened. You should see me. I'm like walking around washing everything, touching everything. Even the cut man's frightened. We're all freaking out on this thing because we're taking it real seriously. We're hoping that the boxing world will realize the MMA world, at least myself, are hoping that they don't want to rush things. Don't want to rush things. The last thing we need in boxing history or in MMA history is for some event to be some super spreader. It meant like this. The heavyweight title fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier in 1971. 6,000 people got sick. I mean, that wouldn't be cool, would it? No, it wouldn't be cool then, and it sure ain't cool in 2020. You're tuning to Ring Talk live on Sports Byline.
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list, but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it. This is hour number one of two live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the Dan Patrick Channel, Channel 211, SB Nation Sports. I keep going and going. We've got like 1,000 different internet platforms. Bottom line is we come to you live on Sports Byline, and of course, iHeartRadio each and every week, Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours. This is the Sunday edition and the Saturday edition, of course, Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1 hour live of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You can catch the podcast, both the 1 hour show Saturday and Sunday, at anchor.com. Just look up Ring Talk Live Worldwide and subscribe. And every time we put up a new show there, you will get notified. Straight up, the ring, as I mentioned, the USC's got a terrible schedule coming up. Nothing really, of course, until USC 252. I'm talking about Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier, the third fight around. Of course, Daniel Cormier detached Stipe Miocic's retina with those open hand pokes that I was screaming at the TV. The referee wasn't listening to me, but Miocic had to undergo surgery. That delayed the third fight. Of course, it's going to go August the 15th from the UFC Apex in Las Vegas. Holly Holm. There's a picture of me doing a fight card on my Facebook page. Of course, the ring announcing, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I think we were at the Pit. One of the casinos, of course. And that was a Holly Holm fight. Man, that was a long time ago. But of course, she's still rocking and rolling in the world of the UFC. And she's going to be going August the 1st at the UFC Apex as well in Las Vegas against a girl by the name of Irene Aldana. Of course, Holly Holm's a former world boxing champion at one point in time. Of course, when she licked Ronda Rousey, she beat up Ronda Rousey so bad it was like, yikes, man. If they were gay, she'd have been arrested for domestic violence. I mean, it was that bad of a beatdown, okay? But then she came back here, thought she was cool, and, you know, wanted to mess around. But then they put her in a fight that they shouldn't have put her. I tried to tell Lenny Fresquez, but Lenny had to have it his way. He was going to take a fight in between the Ronda Rousey rematch. What happened? She got beat. I'm talking about Holly Holmes, and her career was never the same. The managerial decisions of Lenny Fresquez, a genius in the restaurant industry, but not in the boxing and MMA industry. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. This is hour number one of two, live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned for hour number two, live, of course, Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I can keep going, but just stay tuned for hour number two because we're kicking some. Cause I love you so.